Welcome to The Friday Habit with Mark Labriola and Benjamin Manley. The Friday Habit is for small business owners, freelancers, and creatives who are ready to take their business to the next level. Join us as we discover how to apply the strategies we learn to grow our businesses, make more money, and live every day like it's Friday. And welcome back to The Friday Habit. Another awesome day to celebrate. I'm 6 feet above the ground. Actually, 5'11 and a half, but you know who's counting.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Ben, I'm so good. Hey, today we got a returning guest, Jeremy Ryan Slate. Welcome to the podcast.
Man, I'm 5'6 and a half above ground, you know? So
there you go. Hashtag blessed.
Oh, thanks for having me back, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Hey, you know, if you don't know who Jeremy Ryan Slate is, Google it, or go back to episode 43 and 45 of The Friday Habit. That was a long time ago. We had him back on in 2020.
Yeah.
So
when you were kind enough to come on my show at that time, Mark. So yeah,
there we go. How awesome is that? So we talked about PR and we talked about staying fit as an entrepreneur, all sorts of stuff. So go listen to those episodes and you can get all that origin story. But Jeremy, man, what have you been up to? How's it going? Dude, I think last time we talked, maybe you were like moving to a farm or something like that, or like,
yeah,
did you do that?
Yeah, so we bought a house in 2020. You know, the economy was kind of like not going so well. And I'm like, this is a perfect time to buy a house because mortgage rates are low.
Yeah.
So we bought a house on like just over 4 acres. We got 2 dozen chickens. I got my pig here. We got a river going through our backyard, a lake down the street. Wow. And I live in the country, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's kind of like, you know, I feel like as humans, our soul longs to connect with nature, you know, living in Colorado, I have the beautiful Rocky Mountains and we, you know, go on hikes and we go camping in the mountains. And it's like whenever you're there and it's still and peaceful, you just feel good, you know? And so yeah. I can imagine what you're describing sounds like. You could just go on your back patio, drink a cup of coffee and just enjoy nature.
That and get attacked by a rooster, but you know, it depends on the day of the week, man. We did just get heated floors in our bathroom, which is a modern convenience that is magical,
changer.
I've got to
say. Oh yeah, I have heated floors and it's like when you wake up in the morning and you step on those, like it gives you a little jolt of energy, like, you know what, life's not so bad.
Yes.
You guys have heated floors. I'm literally like outside in my treehouse. There's not even screens or windows and it's like 55 degrees here. I'm just sitting here with a little space heater.
Heat wave, man. 55 degrees. It's like 35 here. You know, we got the fireplace roaring, all that stuff.
Dude, that's awesome.
I'm in Virginia. It's not too bad here right now, but man, heated floors sounds luxurious.
If you ever remodel your bathroom, it's worth it to lay down the pads and just like do it when you retile, because it's, now that I've had it, I'm like, I don't know if I could ever go back to like cold floors again in the morning.
You're like, I love reconnecting with nature, but the ground's so cold, I can't go out there.
So we just got them, like we got the bathrooms been getting done over the last couple like months, but like they just turned on the heated floors yesterday, and I come in the house from my office, and my wife's laying on the bathroom floor. I'm like, are you okay? She's like, it's so warm. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's amazing. Yeah. My friend, actually, in his house, they just remodeled it. He put in their whole heating system is heated floors. There's, like, water running
like
through all the floors.
Heating or whatever?
Yeah. The whole house is heated that way. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I feel like... So did you buy a property and then have to fix it up and like spend the long game of just doing $5,000 projects at a time kind of thing?
That's exactly what we did. We bought a farmhouse that's like 100 years old, and there's houses on the street now, but apparently when it was built, there were no houses on the street, and this was the farmhouse, and everybody else is now living on my farm. you know, we've been doing a lot of projects, man. I just I'm one of those people that I'm like very capable. So yeah. I replaced a whole bunch of plumbing in the house.
Ben is like Captain Mr. Fix-It. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just build it. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just spend a weekend, you know, building things.
So that's where my office came from. We took our garage, and the upstairs loft was just this empty, useless space. So I reframed the whole thing out. I had the electrician come in and wire it up for me, and then I, you know, put in the insulation. I put up the drywall, painted the whole thing, put down some hardwood flooring, and I have a beautiful office now. Like I'm that friend that has lots of projects going on.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe the friend that has a truck that can help you move something.
No, I am the friend with a Volkswagen with a trailer. So there you go.
Okay. You get the trailer. Nice. That's awesome. Well, dude, I want to hear a little bit about just, you know, how things are going with your business.
Yeah.
You know, and it, maybe if you want to inform everybody, like kind of command your brand, you know, kind of what you do and, you know, who you service and all those other kind of things. And then I kind of want to talk a little bit about your journey. I know that you use a lot of VAs and other things like that. You know, a lot of our audience is entrepreneurs and they're, you know, self-starters, they're creatives and small business owners and freelancers. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, some of that transition of using VAs and things like that, as well as I think your wife works with you, right? Doesn't she help out with the business as well?
Yeah, so she originally like ran our PR area, and kind of the way our organization is set up, like she runs quality control now, which is actually like above kind of our PR team. So what we do is we essentially book our clients on podcasts, and we've been doing that since 2016. So it's been a while now. And we also now on a smaller scale, but we've been doing some show production and YouTube optimization too, because we've really started going heavy into video in the last, you know, 6 months to a year, because I think if you're not doing video in 2024, you're crazy. So we've really been trying to learn everything I can learn about video. So that's kind of where we're at, is we're doing that, and we're trying to, it's interesting. And I don't know how to describe this, because like for us, like we're kind of a small 3 or 4 person business for our first 4 years in business. And then 2020 happened when you and I first connected, and we hired probably more people than we should have at that time. So we were a little bit overstaffed. We had to kind of pull back a little bit. And the thing that we've been focusing on in the last year, now with a team of 15, is building systems that allow us to scale better. So we've gotten very good at like documenting jobs and trainings and things like that. I have a system that I use, Chris.ai is a like a microphone sound filter, but it actually transcribes your calls too. So what I'll do is I'll record a screen recording, and then I take that transcript from the screen recording, I feed it into ChatGPT, and I have it write a process for me. So I've been writing processes better, but now we're also like taking a look at like where the waste is. So we're getting in, we just started using Go High Level as our CRM, because we were able to get rid of our email marketing system. We were able to get rid of ClickFunnels. We were able to get rid of our calendar system. So we're trying to like bring as much centralized as we can. And then now we're just in the process of setting up Asana so that we can kind of have a lot of those systems too. Because I found that, number one, I think we've lost a lot of money and waste of how we've run things in the past. So you kind of have to figure out where that is. And then if we want to go to our next level of growth, we're kind of setting up a lot of the systems so we can do that. Because we've grown well, we've done well. But I think if once you get to a certain point where unless you handle kind of some of the basic systems and things like that, the things nobody wants to confront, that's where the next level of growth is.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I feel like, Ben, you're really, really good at that. I feel like, Ben, though, I feel like you kind of are on the error of like not spend any money and like create some sort of MacGyver like solution that's free. And then it's like, oh, I built this awesome custom thing for free.
Well, sometimes it's free, or I just pay for tons of different apps, because I'm like, I get super picky. I have like the curse of a designer where I'm like, well, I've looked at Go High Level before, and I have a really good friend that uses it, swears by it. I'm sure it's amazing, but when I look at their site, I'm like, this is too ugly. I can't use this, you know, which is really stupid, right? I'm like, well, I know that for business it doesn't make any sense, but so I get really picky about what apps. So sometimes I cobble together 10 or 15 different apps that are all beautiful and I love the way they work. But I'm like, you know, honestly, I probably should just be using one app for this.
Well, that's what I'm similar, Ben, like where you had to kind of drag me kicking and screaming to kind of pull a whole bunch of things together. Cause it's like, all right, we use this one for email marketing. We use this one for CRM. We use this one for funnels. We use this one for So I looked at it. I'm like, I'm spending like $10,000 a month in just software, man. This is a little crazy. So it's like, you know, like you find out that the cheap solution kind of like becomes like a Leviathan of sorts. And you're trying to figure out how do I rein this thing in? And that's a little bit of what I was looking at, because like, you're losing productivity in that, right? Like, because for a lot of these apps, like if they don't have an API or they don't connect, well, you need Zapier in the middle. And Zapier works like 95% of the time, but that 5% right. really hurts. Mm-hmm. So it's then like I'm trying to figure that. Out like yep. where the lost efficiency is, man.
Yep, exactly. No, makes sense.
Yeah, we recently lost a couple of big clients this past fall. And so it's one of those things where, right, when things are good and you're making money, you're not really thinking about like, it's just like, oh, we need this thing. Let's just buy it. Like, just solve problems, you know? And then when you're really like looking at your budget and you're like, all right, I need to make some cuts here. And then you start, you know, like I'm knocking on people's office doors like, hey, do we use this software anymore? Like, when was the last time you logged in and like use this app? It's like, oh yeah, I haven't used that for months. It's like, okay, there's a, you know, another $40 a month that I was spending on something that, you know, we didn't need. So I've been going through that process of like figuring out, okay, what is necessary? And then also making the decision of like, for instance, there's a program called Notion, right, that's out there. And we use Asana here at Brand Viva, and we've been using it probably for the past like maybe 4 years or so. And so we have really good systems and processes about, you know, onboarding clients and, you know, scheduling different jobs out to internal teams and to external contractors and things like that. And so that works really well. But I was like, oh, Notion's like way more affordable, you know? And then I started getting into it and looking at it. And then I was like, I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze, where if I cut my $150 a month subscription to Asana to move over to Notion, which is like $46 a month, if the productivity will actually tank and it won't be, you know, as good as us just spending the money to use Asana. So it's like,
well, yeah, I think the thing that we've been trying to do too, because I think you're right. Like when you're in a, you know, when times are good or whenever, you tend to like spend more than you should, or, you know, like you bring in a system maybe you don't need, but like, hey, we can afford it, so why not? So like, we've also taken a look at like operations wise, like when we go through our week, what do we need to do differently? So we've always done our staff meeting every Friday, because I think it's really efficient to do the meeting that starts the week on Friday, because otherwise mm-hmm. Monday you're behind the eight ball. But the thing we yep. started doing with our executive team meeting, and that's where we kind of have the people that run each area of the company. So we'll have like five people on that meeting rather than like the whole team. So we can kind of figure out like, what are the things we're working on this week? We took a look at, you know, the one of the things that we weren't doing before is like, when you really want to grow a business, you want to create like a group demand for income, not just the mm-hmm. owner demanding income, or, you know, people demanding of the sales team or whatever it is. So we've actually started in that meeting figuring out, okay, in each division, how are you going to make money? All right. So, you know, sure, you're booking clients on podcasts, but what are you guys going to do better that's going to generate more income? Or, you know, sure, you guys are doing the marketing, but what are you going to do better that's going to generate income? So that's what we've started doing in those meetings. And then also we've got in a really good purchase order system now, which we weren't doing before. So we'll take a look at the purchase orders in that meeting too. And the executive team will take a look at it and say, okay, well, based on what we can spend or can't spend, like, should we be approving this purchase? Right. So like, we're trying to get tighter about that stuff too, to, you know, kind of set us up for growth a little bit better.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, you know, how are things as far as, you know, your role in the business and thinking about like, you know, how to grow, the direction to move, like, you know, how, I guess the question is how big is the company? You know, how did you, are you hiring external people, or are you hiring W-2 employees? Like, you know, what does that look like for you?
So, right now we have one contractor. We have eight W-2s. And then we have another, eight people on our Philippines team.
Yeah.
So we're kind of varied and a little bit, you know, that in that we do different things. And then we have myself and my wife are both owners draw. So that's kind of that whole thing's done differently. Yeah. So we got a good sized team. We're around, you know, around 16. And it's got a kind of a healthy mix of, for us, like I know for a lot of people out there, when you're getting started, hiring that first person is hard. So we started with VAs first to actually allow us to hire more people domestically, because there are only certain tasks that you can have done domestically, right? Like anything client facing really needs to be a domestically done task. So that's what we've looked at, is VAs helped us grow in the beginning, and we still have a lot of tasks that they help us with. But that's also helped us to hire more here. So now we're, like I said, we have, I think at this point we have seven W-2s.
Nice. And then what about remote? Are you guys full remote then?
We are. And it's interesting, man, because I look at it like, I know commercial real estate's kind of out of control right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I don't understand, like, I guess in 2024, like, why you need an office anymore for the most part. Like, I do see there are some processes, like, especially if I'm teaching somebody something, or I'm trying to see if like they're wasting time or money, like, sure, I would want to have them in front of me. But I think when you have good systems and you hire the right people and you train people the right way, you have a, you know, you can really operate that way. So we've been virtual you know, we were on and off virtual from 2016 to 2020 because we had like a co-working space. But at in 2020, when things got weird, we kind of paid for it for a whole year, even though we couldn't go there. We stopped even doing that. And we've just found that productivity has been a lot better, man. If you just figure out how to, you know, run people on the right statistics, make sure that, you know, if statistics are up, that we're handling them. If they're down, we're handling them right away too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what are those statistics for you to monitor like productivity for your employees? I mean, are you the kind of boss that's like, yeah, just, you know, work your 8 hours and just be productive? Or are you trying to like, you know, see down to the minute, like making sure that you're getting your money's worth out of each employee?
I'm not a micromanager, man. And I'm also like, I don't know. I like to think I'm a boss you want to work for. I don't know. I hope that's true.
Like, let's ask them those employees. We got to guess the employees for
Jim Ryan's employees and see what they say about me. Because like for me, like I honestly don't care, you know, if you spend less time, you know, than what you're paid for, if you're getting a good product. So for us, like I care more about like quality metrics. So here's an example. We're looking at like the shows that we're booking as a booking team. I'm looking at like, okay, so yeah, sure, you booked this many shows this week, but what was the quality of those shows? Like, are they good shows that are going to be valuable for our clients and valuable for the show? So I'm looking at quality metrics more than I'm looking at like numbers. Like, and I'm looking at like in sales, I'm not looking at just like, hey, contracts out. I'm looking at contracts signed and paid, right? Because that's an actual complete cycle of action. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I got this many contracts signed. Well, it's like, great, but if nobody's paying on those contracts, well, we got a problem. So those are the type of things I'm looking at, is what's a fully completed quality product in each division. Marketing, great. Like, okay, you produced a lot of stuff this week, but how many actually totally finished marketing pieces were put out and actually sent out an email or social or whatever it may be? So when I'm looking at statistics for each division, that's what I'm looking at. Like, what is a fully created quality product for your division? Not just a product, but a quality product.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it sounds too like, I mean, I just, the language that you're using, you know, like your executive team and divisions and all these things, like they're like big, like they're big company words, you know, like even though you're a small business, like you're using these big company words. Do you think that it's valuable to set yourself with that mindset of, all right, this is how big companies operate. You know, there's that book, what is it called? I think it's called like Traction or something like that. And there's like the entrepreneur operating system or whatever that is. I don't know if you've read that book at all, but
I haven't, no.
You know, he talks about, and maybe even a better example is E-Myth. I don't know if you've read E-Myth before.
Yeah, E-Myth and E-Myth Revisited, Michael Gerber.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's a great one, right? Where he kind of talks about creating all these systems and processes. And in the beginning, you're the janitor, you're the, you know, the courier, and you're the CEO and the VP, and you're doing all these things, right? But then as you start to grow, you can delegate some of these things out. I guess my thought or my question to you is when you think about growing your business, I mean, do you think about like having these different lines, right? Like maybe in the beginning, you and your wife were doing the marketing and you were doing the booking and you were doing, you know, the content, you know, editing and all these other kind of things. As you've grown, do you find it's beneficial to have that mindset of like divisions and executive teams and all these other kind of things?
Yeah. No, I think 100%, because your viewpoint, like especially if you're the founder of a company, your viewpoint is actually what makes the company go, right? I think that's important. And when you look at it, like every business essentially has two phases. You kind of have your phase one, which is where, you know, somebody starting a company gets things done and kind of single hands while bringing people on board and teaching them. And you have phase two, where that executive is actually getting other people to get the work done. And I think that's the difference in where a lot of people struggle is, and I know I struggle with this too, guys, is like you feel like the work you're doing has changed, right? Like for me, a lot of things I'm doing is like building new programs, bringing out new software, training people. Like that's what I do day to day now. Where before I used to say like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing my job, which is like, you know, recording and editing and doing all these different things. But when I look at it, you have to understand that what your role is and how you're actually making the lines better for other people. So like for me, okay, if I can establish a process better, well, then my person that does editing can get 10 times more done than he could have with a bad process. So that's what you really have to look at, is what lines am I putting there for other people to get done? And I do think that's important, even if you don't have a huge company, but it's to have that viewpoint there of I'm putting a process there that somebody else can come in and do well. And then also having a quality control process for if it doesn't go right. Like for different process in our company, we have checklists of, okay, things aren't going right. Did you do these five things to fix it? So I think too, like having a standardization of that is really important, because that is where growth comes from, even if you're not there yet, man.
Mm-hmm. Ben, do you think that you were very similar to that? I feel like back in the day, it was like just you enjoy just doing all the things, you know, and then you started to kind of bring on people. And did you see that by creating those systems and processes that you were able to just be more efficient in like in that growth?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's funny, actually, similarities as we do our team meetings on Fridays too, because I don't want that feeling of, okay, what are we going to do this week? And that's what
you know
actually
why? You know why, Ben? Because it's a Friday habit, Ben. That's why.
Right.
Anyway,
that's literally why our podcast is named that. I'm not joking. It's like the habit of reviewing, you know, anything that's come up that week, any issues that have come up, any new ideas and that kind of stuff, and reviewing them as a team. Yeah. And I think 100% agree that your job, I mean, two things. One is, I think as a business owner myself, I feel like the job of a business owner or leader is, one is building those processes or having somebody in place to build them, however you want to do it. But fixing the process is way more important than doing the work yourself, if you want to grow. And then I think second thing is just being a good coach, you know, being able to coach people through problems. And part of that might be like building those systems for troubleshooting, like you said, but also just being there and helping them troubleshoot why they're having trouble with something and kind of get through it. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
That's a really great point, Ben, too. Like, because I think for a lot of us, we look at a situation going wrong, we're like, oh, I gotta go in and fix it, right? Like that used to be my viewpoint. What my viewpoint is now is, what training is out, or what didn't I make sure somebody knew, or what data is missing so the person can do it right? And I think if you can get past that, Ben, like you're talking about, man, that's a game changer, because you stop being the Band-Aid guy and you start being the guy that's like, let me put in things so they can flow. And if things aren't flowing, you know, then I need to figure out why, right? Like, why is there a stuck flow? And that's the biggest thing I'm looking at, is when something is stuck in my organization, what training is missing, what write-up is missing. Is there a software we need that we're not using? So like, that's what I'm trying to look at, which is not how I was looking at it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even like we recently had like a small, like a misunderstanding with a client. They expected one thing. We had promised something else. And then it was like, yeah, I could go jump in and fix that. But even though I was going to make the call, I had the other people that normally do that join the call as well, because I wanted them to hear it. And I talked through my reasoning beforehand. I made the call, and then afterwards said, okay, in the future, like anytime something like this happens, feel free to use up to this amount of money to fix the problem without any questions asked. It's okay. We can give them discounts. The point is for them to have a successful project, even if it's not fair to us, you know, that's okay, within reason. Like, we'll just take care of it. And then just setting that expectations for the future, because then it's like, okay, next time that comes up, I probably don't even need to jump on the phone.
You got to get Mark to stop promising the clients that the Rock is going to give them a personal welcome call to their program, because it's just not true.
I'm like, listen, the Rock Johnson. Yeah, you know, the other thing I was thinking about too, that's that also as you grow, I think as a creative, I know for me, there's like certain things that I want a certain way, you know, or like I've developed my eye in a particular way and I want things a certain way. But the thing that I found sometimes, you know, if you want to remove yourself from a process, you have to be okay with good enough. You know, like you have to be able to look at something and say, you know what, this isn't maybe, and maybe there's two ways you can approach it, because I kind of approach it both ways, where sometimes I'll go into a situation and say, hey, next time let's do this, this, and this, you know, but hey, that's great. And I think by doing that, you allow yourself to trust other people to come along in that process so that it can help you grow. Because if I'm constantly in, you know, the weeds on certain things and trying to micromanage how they're getting done, and they're being done exactly the way that I like to do them and how I do them, it just slows things down. And so it's like getting to a place where you can trust other people and then being okay with, you know, like it being good enough. Like, yeah, you know what? That's good enough. And if I can coach that person into trying to get better, but I can't always expect people to be exactly like me or have the exact same style or eye as I have. And I have to be okay with, is the client happy? Is the client, you know, pleased with this? Then that's good enough, you know? All right, we're going to pause this conversation here. Go to thefridayhabit.com. There you can find show notes for this episode. There you can also find links to our websites and ways to get in touch.
At the bottom of the page, you can download our guide to the Friday Habit System that will show you how to set aside one full day each week dedicated to working on your business instead of in your business. If you're not already, make sure you subscribe. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear next week's episode, subscribe so you get notified. Also, leave us a review in Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to potentially be on one of our episodes with a question you ask us, go ahead and record a quick message in your phone, voice memo, and email it to hello@thefridayhabit.com. Until next time, live every day like it's Friday.